Well, I'm going to start off by having just a little bit of fun with you this morning. But this fun has application to the sermon that's about you're about to receive. And I have this little cowboy gig I do, radio segment called Country Up, little two-minute segments. And I'm going to share one of them with you this morning as we get started. And I'll get in character now. Now, any good cowboy will tell you, you don't wear your hat in church, okay? But I'm in character now, so I'll get a pass on that, right? Okay, all right. And here we go. This is Daniel the Boone Markham with this episode of Country Up. Gentle Breeze. Was sitting in my office under the guard of my Texas Longhorns that hang on the wall above my big oak desk when a gentle breeze came through the open window and ever so slightly brushed my face. Right off, I recognized it was more than wind. It was God's Holy Spirit saddling up alongside me for some time together. My heart warmed up from the awareness that he was making himself more present than normal. Caused me to just blurt out, "I love you, Lord." Sounds kind of odd to say such a thing, being a man and all. Men, cowboys at least, just don't make a habit of telling fellas that they love each other. Sort of weird where I come from. Of course, the Lord is someone much more than just some bronco-busting sidekick. Well, anywho, it's just what came out of my heart and my mouth. You see, I've trailed up for a long time with the Lord. Nigh on 48 years. Been a rough ride at times. But I've also wandered into some pleasant weather, good pasture land, and finer habitations than I deserved. Over the years, the good Lord and I become real familiar-like. While he's always Lord and God, he's also become my best close friend. Ain't no better. Been riding together so long, I immediately perceive when he comes up alongside me, deciding we should stop for a spell for some time around the warmth of the campfire. You see, riding for the long haul with the Lord gives you a leg up over other folks. Things like nearness to God, contentment, patience, strength through troubling times, a settledness, if you will, a godly, peaceful perspective on life. So, my friend, saddle up with the Lord for the long ride home. This is Daniel the Boone Markham on a journey a few miles this side of heaven. There you have it. On the road to Emmaus. Let's pray. Lord, open our eyes that we might see you afresh and anew today. And each and every day of our walk with you. Amen. A critical question for every believer should be, are you merely a believer or on a journey with Jesus? And let me add, an adventuresome journey with Jesus. Is your walk with Jesus an adventuresome unfolding revelation of Jesus? If not, it can be, and perhaps it should be. Sometimes it's a mysterious and adventuresome journey with valley lows and high peak experiences. As we will see today, two followers of Jesus, Cleopas and his companion, leaving Jerusalem on Resurrection Sunday, as they travel on the road to Emmaus, continue their adventure to an unknown destination with Jesus. You have a destination with Jesus. I have a destination with Jesus. And just because the destination is awesome, don't lose out in making the most of the journey before we get there. Luke 24, 13 through 35, on the road to Emmaus. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Has Jesus ever drawn near to you? I suppose he has many times, as well as me. Did you always recognize when he was drawn near to you? I haven't. I'm sure I haven't always recognized. Sometimes. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Can't you just picture them? Just standing their heads down. It's been a bad day. It's been a bad weekend, actually. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some of our women, some of the women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But they did not see. He is alive with you, with me. Do you see him?" He said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Yeah, about 3 days before, that same thing kind of happened, didn't it? I think the bells are beginning to ring just a little bit. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us on the road while he opened to us the scriptures?" You no doubt have had those times in the scriptures, right? Where your heart was burning within you. That was Jesus revealing himself a little more to you. And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon," that is Peter. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. What an amazing story, huh? A mysterious kind of story in some ways. And as you, with Pastor Aaron, are kind of approaching the end now of the Gospel of Luke. I think next week is the last episode, if you will. It might be good for us to recall a couple things about Luke, who he was. Well, we know that he was not only an author, he wrote this Gospel. He was a historian and a physician. Not only the author of this Gospel, but of the book of Acts. And as you no doubt know, Luke painstakingly researched and wrote Luke and Acts. If you read the first verse of Luke and the first verse of Acts, you realize that he went about, talked to all the firsthand witnesses of Jesus that were available, and recorded this great gospel, which is also a history and a biography of Jesus. He was a physician, as we know. It's also interesting that the 19th century French philosopher and skeptic, I might add, Ernest Renan, praised the book of Luke as the most beautiful book ever written. Pretty amazing. And what's beautiful about it, to me especially, I've spent a lot of time in this gospel, and it's my favorite gospel, by the way, if there can be such a thing. But from time to time, as we know, the Lord gives us favorite, you know, books of the Bible or verses, right? And in this particular book, again, why I love it so much is it focuses on just regular folks, folks like you and me. He focused on the shepherds. By the way, they weren't beloved like when we think about Psalm 23 and the Good Shepherd. Shepherds were despised in the culture of that day. They had an important job, which was providing sheep for sacrifices in the temple, but they were understandably dirty and stinky, and they smelled like sheep, and so they were kind of ostracized. You know, and this book shows that he paid attention to people like the shepherds, to people, harlots, to drunkards, to sinners, as the Pharisees. Oh, he spends time with the drunkards and sinners. But he spent most of his time with just common, regular, everyday folks. And so this biography of Jesus takes us to Resurrection Sunday with the regular folks, the regular followers of Christ. People, again, like you and me. Just disciples. Not unlike all of our brothers and most of our brothers and sisters across this land and across the globe. But these two, Cleopas and his companion, who the scripture doesn't reveal who they were actually, but obviously they were disciples, followers of Jesus, they were in for a surprise from Jesus. Ready your hearts this morning for a surprise from Jesus. Would you do that? Have expectation in your heart that he might just want to reveal himself a little more to you today and each and every day. Luke 14, 13 through 16, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. According to the great British 19th century biblical scholar Brooke Westcott, it is approximately 4 to 6 p.m. on Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. This is the 6th of 8 post-resurrection appearances of Jesus to his followers, at least that are recorded in Scripture. And two of Jesus' boys from the hood are leaving Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus, a village approximately 6 miles west of Jerusalem, above the plains looking towards the Mediterranean Sea, where we now have the city of Tel Aviv. Two of them, it says. Reminiscent of John 18:20, "For where there are two or three gathered in my name, there I am with them." And so in our story today, he is with these two. And so with us this morning, he is with us. Isn't that something? He's here right now. Sometimes we lose track of that, even in church, right? I mean, he's really right here. And he desires to reveal himself to you and to me in fresh and new ways. They were kept from recognizing him, it says. And as is in the case with us, often Jesus is present with us, working for us or in us or through us to someone else, and we don't recognize it. However, sometimes a bit later we look back, right? We go, that was a Jesus moment. That was a God moment, right? That happens to us, doesn't it? Yeah. I think that just blesses Jesus when we have those recognition moments, right? blesses us. And he loves us, so there you go, right? Is your walk with Jesus an adventuresome, unfolding revelation of Jesus? If not, it can be, and it should be. You know that Jesus desires to reveal himself more to you and more to me every day. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Believe it. Expect it. When you rise in the morning, have the first words that come out of your lips. Jesus, what do you have for me today? Jesus, reveal yourself to me more today. And he will. He will. Now, sometimes when he reveals himself to us, it's through tragedy. Not only triumph, not only good times, but also bad times. As the psalm was read this morning during communion, we resonate with the psalm, right? Because it's so raw and real. God is present even in the good times and even in the bad times. These two disheartened brothers, it says they were downcast in one translation. It says in the translation we're reading today, the ESV, and they stood still looking sad. Perhaps today you are downcast like Cleopas and his companion. Get ready for Jesus to reveal himself to you in a fresh new way. Expect it to happen. It will. As typical of Jesus' teaching style, he leads off with a question. What are you discussing? What's going on? You know, sometimes that's what prayer is all about. It's just Jesus prompting us, just tell me what's going on. What's going on? And so we should then at that time pour our heart to Jesus. This is what's going on, Lord, and I'm really sad, and I'm even mad at you. By the way, you can be mad at God. I was for a season when I went through a great loss in my life. But you know what? He's got big shoulders. He can handle it. You'll circle around, and he'll circle around, and it'll be okay. So he leads off with a question. What are you discussing? He gets them to reveal what they know about him. It's good that we ask questions of those who maybe are seekers, maybe not, but we're in that discussion, that God moment. Ask questions before you preach. Just ask questions. So how you doing? What's going on today? Occasionally I do that if I just sense my waitress or somebody that's come into my circle is struggling. What's going on? Can I pray with you? Ask questions. Is your walk with Jesus an adventuresome, unfolding revelation of Jesus? If not, it can be. Even today, expect that very miracle. Whether you're sad or glad, or maybe you're just neutral today, shift out of neutral into expectation. You'll be surprised what will happen, as these two were surprised. There's a song that resonates with me now and then when I contemplate Jesus. There is more of Jesus. There is more of my Lord. I can hear the Spirit calling. Come on through. There is more. There's more for you and for me. Isn't that exciting? There's more. I love that. And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a mighty prophet in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. What things? Another question. Concerning Jesus, they replied. Sometimes, again, this is the best way to share our faith. Ask questions. Just ask questions. And as we share what we know about Christ, our faith grows, and so the same to the person who's listening to us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides this, it is now the third day since these things happened. We hoped, we thought, we trusted he would be the redeemer of Israel. Have your hopes in Jesus ever been dashed? Mine have. But they were my hopes. Not necessarily his design, his calling, his journey for me. They were looking for a redeemer, a savior who would deliver them from the Romans and establish God's kingdom on earth. But alas, they crucified him. We often look for the Jesus that meets our expectations, our desires, and our design. By the way, I hate to say it, but that's idolatry. That's idolatry. Yeah. When we create this image of Jesus that we want, when it's not the biblical image of Jesus, they crucified him. He suffered. The suffering servant. They just could not see that. It just didn't fit within their theological framework. He's supposed to come and triumph over the Romans, cause Israel to rule over the whole world. But alas, he was crucified. Our hopes were dashed. And they said, they brought up the phrase, the third day, which he spoke about numerous times to them, including but not limited to Matthew 16:21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day. And on the third day, be raised to life. On the third day, be raised to life. They just couldn't see it. Many times, the way Jesus is interacting with us, we just don't, it doesn't fit, right? And our hopes are dashed, and we're downcast, perhaps, and maybe it's hard to trust in him anymore. Let's make sure we worship Jesus of the Bible. Not only did he suffer, but he said that we would suffer. Put that in your promise box. That we will suffer for his name's sake. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that he'd even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. They did not see. They did not see in this tragic time that God was still working. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. You ever hear that sermon? It's a wonderful sermon. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. You may be in Friday. It may be crucifixion day, but Sunday is coming. I know I've been in some very, very dark hours in my life. One season, very recently, I could not see emotionally, mentally, how I was going to get out of that. But I'd walk with the Lord long enough to know he got me out of those other fixes. He's going to get me out of this one too. Even though I don't see it, I don't feel it. I'm not with that, right? But he is. He is. Now, it says that some of those, they mentioned some of those who were with us saw that Jesus was raised from the dead. I hope is alive in your heart right now. Hope and expectation. What is it Jesus is going to do next? Wow. Live with expectation. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. Jesus led them back to the Word of God. And as every day, we should allow ourselves to be led back to the Word of God. What does the Word say? To build faith in the disciples, he takes them to and through the Word of God, the whole counsel of God, from Genesis to Malachi. When sharing your faith with someone, never underestimate, or maybe you're just ministering to somebody to encourage them, never underestimate the power of God's Word. Just quoting and saying God's Word. Wow. It is quick and powerful like a two-edged sword, dividing asunder of heart and spirit and soul. It's powerful. It's quick. It works. The Messiah should suffer. Again, our expectations. Where are they? Are they in the scriptures and the whole counsel of God? The Old Testament is loaded with 300 prophecies. He took them through all the scriptures. The Old Testament is Jesus concealed. The New Testament is Jesus revealed. It all points towards Jesus. And let us be careful with scripture that we take in the whole counsel of God in our promise box, right? The whole counsel of God. There's this rule of biblical interpretation called the rule of unity, which means never interpret a scripture contrary to the general tenor of the whole scripture, right? Yeah. So they drew near to the village. They urged Jesus to stay with them. He then takes them. We then go into the meal. It says when he was at table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. It's like, ding, 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 ding. This breaking of bread sounds kind of familiar, like last Friday, you know, last Thursday, I should say, when he broke bread with us. Could it be? It says he broke the bread and blessed, he took the bread, and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were open. Pooh! Oh! And they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? You no doubt have had that happen as you're reading the scriptures, and all of a sudden, pooh! They're just like, why have I not seen that before? Right? And you have this kind of burning in your heart. That's Jesus revealing himself to you afresh and anew. They recognize him. And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with him gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. We'll close with this from Philippians. Now this is the Apostle Paul talking, writing in Philippians. He's at the end of his life. Think about that. He's in jail. He's about to be crucified. And this is the Paul that Jesus appeared to on the road to Damascus, miraculously appeared, blinded him, just rocked his world, right? This is the Jesus that led him to spread the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. This is the Paul who Jesus empowered to do extraordinary miracles. This is the Jesus that took Paul up into the third heaven, he said, and saw things unspeakable. So awesome he couldn't even talk about it. It's that Paul who is now saying this, I want to know Christ. Well, wait a minute, you know him. You've done all this stuff with him, right? But there was this thing in his heart, this relentless pursuit of Jesus. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Let's do this, beloved. Let's do this. It's one thing I do, forgetting everything that's behind me, the good, the bad, the ugly, the hard, the difficult, the miraculous, the unspeakable glory of Christ. All of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly, that's behind us. But now we're going to press on towards the mark of the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Keep seeking him. He will reveal himself to you afresh today, tomorrow, and the next day. Let's close with prayer. Jesus, we want you, we give permission to you to reveal yourself to us fresh, even today, even right now, even tomorrow and the next day, that again we would rise each morning, Lord Jesus, and say, what do you have for me today? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.